this is the time in the lectionary where it's the week where we focus on joy. And that's where the Old Testament reading and the New Testament reading are a call to rejoice. Not always the easiest call to hear. You know, we often, we need to be reminded rather than instructed. We need to be reminded more often than we need to be instructed. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Sometimes we need to be reminded that the pastures are green. Sometimes we need to be reminded that the waters are still and calm. And sometimes we just need to be reminded to sit down and to enjoy the sunshine. To be able to feel the sun shining on our face, to be able to realize what we have. So often the Bible uses imagery around a sheep and shepherds, and you know, we have that phrase, as cunning as a fox. You don't ever have the phrase as quick-witted as a sheep, right? Because sheep, by their very nature, aren't that smart. And I'd like to think that we're smarter, but I'm not. You know, so often when the grass is green and the waters are calm and the sun is shining, I'm off looking for the next bit of trouble, right? Or worrying about what I don't have. You know, if only we could listen to the wisdom of our elders. You know, it's only when we're young and the folly of youth that we say, oh, one day I'll stop and enjoy that. I'll look to the future. Whereas actually when we listen to what most of our elders say, and you know, many years ago they once surveyed people in the last few years of their life, and of all the things they said they would do more of, one was just, they would enjoy the moment. When they were there to present themselves, they would enjoy the moment. Why don't we? You know, we always put our happiness event horizon somewhere far beyond than the present moment, don't we? And how are we going? Is it making us any happier? Not really. Not really. Sometimes, in the course of life, we need to be reminded to be sat down in the grass. But in the normal plane of human existence, we get the next verse, which says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if we live, we'll be hurt. If we live, we will suffer. That's how it goes. And that's the normal ebb and flow of human life. Guy above his desk has that beautiful Looney cartoon of the up and down of life. And that's part of the normal human experience. Because if you work for righteousness, if you work to create a better world, you'll suffer. If you stand up for what's right and stand against what's wrong in your workplaces or in your schools, you'll suffer. In fact, I'm finding it hard to find a way you can pursue life that is devoid of suffering. Because equally a part of the human experience of suffering is also that we are made for love. And if we love, we will suffer. In fact, suffering is the ticket price of admission to real love, is it not? And once we've really loved, anything else is just a cheap knockoff. And we wouldn't want that anyway. When we face the world and our life wholeheartedly, when we face the world, we'll be vulnerable. The contributions we'll make will be valuable, but we'll be vulnerable. So this call to rejoice sounds weird sometimes, doesn't it? Particularly for those of us here who are in that valley of the shadow of death. You know, because we are made for love, we are made for union, we are made for compassion, we are made for forgiveness, and yet that doesn't seem to be our storyline, does it? Doesn't square with human history either. And so we take a look at life and we get hurt, and we take our broken hearts that are hurting into the world, and they are in the valleys of the shadow of death, and we hear a call to rejoice and we think, that doesn't make sense. Well, how can I really rejoice? Just a quick note on Paul. Paul's writing this, Philippians 4. He's writing it from prison. He is calling people to rejoice from his position in prison. In fact, the previous chapter 3 of Philippians, if you ever are inclined to go and read it. He talks about the normal course of suffering. In fact, he says, if we are to follow the Christ pattern for life, then it is that movement between green pastures and dark valleys, between green pastures and dark valleys. And if we allow that suffering, which our culture doesn't allow, our culture says if you're suffering, buy something or take something or drink something or avoid something. But Paul says if we allow that suffering, then that suffering makes us like Christ. The normal event of life, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of life. And it's from that position he talks about rejoicing. Rejoicing. So how can we, why is it important for us to rejoice even in the dark valleys? It's more important for us to learn and to be reminded to rejoice in those times, because our broken and our hurt hearts, our normal reactions are to put a suit of armor on our hearts. When our call is to love, we can't put a suit of armor on. I'm sorry. Sorry to disappoint. I've tried it that many times. It doesn't work. Because if we, what's the opposite of love? If we are not opening ourselves up to love, we'll start to try and control our environment. We will start to control people around us. The opposite of love, almost, I'm sad to say, is power. And ironically, the more we exert power, the less room there is for love. It doesn't work either. I'm not going to love my kids, I'm going to control them. How's that going to work? Not very well. About as well as my parents' attempt to control me did. Unsuccessful. And so our temptation there is to close our hearts off and to become cynical and to become jaded. And that is a real challenge, because I guess when the call from Paul comes for us to rejoice, the call really is an invitation. See, so much of what we do here at the Wayside is invite people to life. It's an invitation. Because, and the invitation and the call here is, how do we keep our hearts open when we're going through hell? Not easy. How do we keep our hearts open when we're going through hell? A couple of weeks ago, someone came here. If you were here, about, I think it was about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, a young man came here and he joined us for chapel, and I hadn't seen him for a few months. And he'd just been in prison. Right, let me tell you something about prison. I don't know much about it. I've watched the shows, and I think I could survive for about 10 minutes there. But everything comes at a cost in prison, right? Everything has a price, and it's carefully measured and it's carefully weighed. And sometimes that cost is in money. Sometimes that cost is in dignity. Sometimes that cost is both. He came here. He was welcomed with open arms. There was a chair made available for him. He was embraced. John met him at the door and gave him a big hug, as John Walters always does. He was welcomed with love. And he quickly grabbed me and he begged me, he said, can I please come and sing a song? And if you were here, who was here 2 weeks ago, we heard our brother sing Amazing Grace. See, the way you can keep your heart open through hell, you can't fake it, right? You cannot fake this. Often I'll say fake it till you make it, but you can't fake this. You have to have had an experience of love, an amazing experience of love and grace. So someone who came here and was welcomed with open arms wanted to sing about a free gift he's received and how sweet it was and how it taught his heart to remain open. It taught his heart to fear, but it also relieved his fears. Wow. And you know what? In my little petty existence that I call my life, I was enriched. I was fed from that moment. What an amazing time. This Christmas is coming and it's here very soon. And yesterday in the Weekend Australian, someone wrote about homelessness. And Alice Pung, her name is. Great article, but she got the last bit at the end of her article wrong. Well, it was not wrong so much as it was incomplete. She said, what confronts us about our brothers and sisters who are sleeping rough at this time of year is that when we suffer, when we have a roof over our head, our home is where our suffering takes shelter. And what confronts us most about people who are doing it tough and who are sleeping rough is their misery is naked. That was all she said. What she doesn't also know is so is their joy. On the 25th of December, and just this is a reminder, there's a seat ready for you. In fact, there's a spot in the choir ready for you as well, whether you like that or not. You'll walk, park all your worries and anxieties at the top of Darlinghurst Road. Right? You will walk down this street and you will not know who's who in this zoo. But you will know you are loved and you are welcome and there is a space for you. Last night in my bazaar taking over from Graham World, I was in the Fox Studios doing an interview on some weird TV show called Changemakers. And I got interviewed by this gorgeous interviewee, whatever her name is, I can't remember. And as I was leaving, she said, stop, I just want to tell you something, ask you something. And I said, oh yeah. She said, I tried to book in to volunteer on Christmas Day and it's booked out. Can you squeeze me in? And I said, oh, that's so wonderful. You must be so busy. She said, no. And this is someone who, you know, has got it all together, is a news reader, is doing well in life. She said, no, this is the Christmas where I don't have access to my kids. Right? We've all got, we're all equals on Christmas Day, aren't we? We're all equals. So I've kicked someone off their shift and I've snuck her in. All right? Said, if I can't pull that one, I don't know if I'm worth my salt. But she needs Christmas Day as much as anybody. She wrote an article in 2017 when her divorce came up and she couldn't even get rental properties. And she said, you know, she was terrified how close she came. And it was only because she had a friend who was a real estate agent that she was accepted for a property just because she was female. She kept getting knocked back, rental property after rental property after rental property. We need each other more than ever on that time of year, and you'll be welcomed. So all the anxieties and all the worries, you know, Christmas Day, have I bought enough prawns? Have I bought enough crackers? Have I bought enough bonbons? Don't worry about it. Leave that at the top of the thing, because Chantelle's already here. She's got it sorted for you. She's probably got 16 each for each of you, and a job, and she could yell at you at any moment too. But that's what we love about it. Right. You're welcome here. So that experience of love and grace and welcome, that's what can keep our hearts open through hell. In the war, there's this quite iconic story now, and about orphans who went to bed, and they weren't orphans when they went to bed, they were placed in their beds, and during the bombings, they lost everything. And these orphans were found wandering the streets. They'd obviously lost their families during the bombings, but they'd gone to bed one moment and woken up literally wandering through rubble, and some were found after days, some after weeks. They were placed in these orphanages. And the thing that the matrons of the orphanages found in was that these children couldn't sleep. And so they would try all sorts of things to get them to sleep. And eventually one of them happened upon the idea of giving each of them a slice of bread. And they would take this bread with them. And that's what helped them fall asleep. We're saying, if I have bread for the journey today, then I know tomorrow will be okay. Bread for the journey. How do we keep our hearts open? Is we look for the sparks of life. We look for those scraps of bread along the way that can feed our souls. We hear someone sing Amazing Grace, knowing the story, and it can feed our souls. We walk into Christmas Day and we see that all are welcome. No one is on the outside, and it can feed our souls. It's a discipline to keep our hearts open during hell. It's not easy. What's the alternative, though? The alternative is that our hearts close over. And I get that. I get that. But we know that is the bread that does not satisfy. So there's a spot for you at this table, and there always will be. We take the brioche bun, of which we love. Hallelujah, yes. This is the only chapel in the world where people come for seconds and thirds for communion. Well, we all need that extra serving of grace. You know, Jesus didn't take fairy bread and a raspberry float. He said, it's all going to just want you to be happy. He said, when you suffer, I'm with you. In fact, I want you to remember me when you suffer. For I am with you. even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You need not fear evil, for I am with you.